Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Great to see everyone on this Wednesday morning. Not our usual, typical day to learn Sefer Shoftim, but nonetheless, we continue on with the Sefer. We are learning the end of the first chapter of Shimshon, which really is fascinating in terms of the Navi going into so much detail about his birth and about the news of his impending birth. And what that means for his parents. Really, there's a fascinating dynamic about the relationship between Shimshon's parents, Manoach and Eshes Manoach, Tzlafonas, and how they interpret this, you know, person who came to them, and was it a Malach or Ish Elokim, or was it a Navi, and their relationship itself, and what that means about infertility and who's to blame, or is anyone to blame? We discuss a very, very important issues here. And we're really up to the last part of this chapter, where the Navi tells us the following. I'm going to get it up on the screen, and we will continue. Last week, I think we discussed a few different very important points regarding just relationships in general and marriages. You know, we compared the marriage of Manoach and Mrs. Eshes Manoach to the marriage of Avram and Sarah, whereas Avram and Sarah were extremely encouraging of each other to continuously grow in their Yiddishkeit and their avodas Hashem. That was not true when it came to the Manoachs, we'll call them. So let's continue now. I think it's Pasuk Yud Tes. So the Navi tells us the Malach once tells Manoach his name. Manoach asks him, just like Yaakov before, Mashemecha, what's your name that we should tell you? And fascinatingly, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu asks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Sneh, right? The Sneh is burning, but it's not being consumed. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not yet Rabbeinu, it just is regular. Moshe is there, and Moshe says, you know, what should I tell the people is your name when I go back to them to tell them you are going to save them? Right? So which is fascinating that is even a question, right? What does that mean by Kadosh Baruch Hu? By Kadosh Baruch Hu, that most likely means not that Moshe wasn't aware of God, but which midah of Hashem is coming over here to bring the Jewish people. And what do the Jewish people need to learn about a Kadosh Baruch Hu at this moment? And Hashem answers, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, I will be what I will be, which is really the name Havaya Yidkei Vavkei, which is one way that God is interacting with the Jewish people throughout the Exodus story. But here, the Malach says, my name is Peli'i. Peli'i, we said, either that really is his name, the Malach's name, or Pela'i means it's hidden from you. It could mean hidden. Or Pela means wondrous. And we pointed out that the wondrous nature, or Mafli, we say Mafli Lasos in Ashi Yatzar, we explain why that would be connected. But the truth is the word Hafla'a is a type of vow that one would take. And the halachos of Naziras are in the Sefer Hafla'a of the Rambam. So that would fit very nicely with the continuation of this story with Shimshon being a Nazir and that being a very dominant feature in his life. So V'yikach Manoach. So right after they ask this person and he tells them their name, Manoach takes V'yikach Manoach es gedi ha'izim v'esa mincha. Manoach takes a goat and a mincha offering, vayal al hatzur lahashem umafli laasos umanoch viishto roim. So he brings a korban. Back then, before the Beis Hamikdash was around, there are certain korbanos that you were allowed to bring in your backyard outside of the Beis Hamikdash. In fact, this was Daf Yomi yesterday. I learned it today because I'm a little bit behind. But this is the Mishnayos and Maseches Megillah talk about the differences between when there was a pre-Beis HaMikdash and during and post-Beis HaMikdash. So Manoach takes korbanos to bring in this altar that's in his, probably in his backyard. And a mafli lasso, something amazing, right? The English here is great. A marvelous thing happens. A marvelous thing happened as a result. So this is like, what happened here that is so amazing? Right, so that we need to see what happened. Vayi ba'alos halahav me'al ha-mizbeach ha-shamayma. Flames came and leapt up from the mizbeach towards the shamayim, towards the heavens. Vayal malach Hashem balav ha-mizbeach. And the malach Hashem ascended through the flames that were on the mizbeach. Umanoach v'ishto ro'im. Manoach and his wife saw this. Vayiplu al pinehem arza, and they fell to the ground. Right? So a fire came. We'll see, it's not clear whether they made this fire themselves or mamish, a fire came from Shemayim. Right? It sounds like there was a fire that eventually descended from Shemayim. And this malach went up into the fire while the korban was being burnt, while there was a fire on the mizbeach. So what in the world is going on over here? Why is Manoach bringing a korban to begin with? Why is this necessary? Does everyone see my screen now? It's sources, not Safaria. Just nod your head or just.
Yes.
Okay, great. So the Malbim here writes the following. Vayikach, as hikriv Lashem, kamosh amar Lashem ta'alenu. Vayal atzur, hamalach asa pla'im, shahurid esh lamizbeach, vehem ra'uzos be'enehem. So they were bringing the korban, and what happened? They didn't light the fire, which is part of bringing the korban. No. The malach brought a fire from Shemayim down. Velo yasat, right? And that's what happened here, that this was a huge miracle. The reaction of Manoach, again, is pretty, I don't think it's surprising, but we weren't sure whether the Manoach and his wife really knew or understood who they were interacting with. It's very clear that Slafonis felt that this was a Navi who they were talking to, and Manoach himself really wasn't clear. Most likely a Navi also. They didn't realize they were interacting with a Malach. We'll discuss soon if that makes them into Nevi'im. So they see this. They are amazed by what happens, right? And they, you know, we'll see what happens next. So says the Malbim, continuing on. Kasav HaMalbim, Shir'iyas HaMalach Beishi Stalkuso, Hu Inyan Yoser Gadol Mashi Yiru, Oso Bodom Milubash Belavush Gashmi. This is a higher level of, I'm going to call it prophecy, I don't know a better word, of revelation maybe. When they see this malach in his fiery form, not in his regular form, dressed like a man, that is a higher level. So it's EF Shoshi Reu Ayin Basar. This is something that usually a human being is not able to see. Kuchakasi Mintero Si Lokech Mitcha Yelacha. He says, the Malbim writes, Elisha Hanavi, the student of David of Eliyahu Hanavi, was not able to see a Malach in this form, yet Manoach and his wife were. And continues on, this is Rav Weiss from Eretz Israel, Manoach v'ishto higia l'dargas nevua. Manoach and his wife reached a level of nevua by getting here and seeing this. The Medrash Rabbah says that's why his name is Manoach, since he was able to reach this level of prophecy, he got the name Manoach. The Manoach wasn't really his name. Manoah comes from Menucha. So one interpretation of Menucha, we said he's very chilled out. He's laxed about his, you know, maybe service of Hashem. Here, Manoach is to be in this state of Menucha, it's a state of where someone needs to be to achieve Nevuah. And that's what's going on. And the Malbim continues, Shazacha bedarga gavoa shel Nevuah, l'osas hanavi la'achar gemar shlichusob eis chazarasol l'mare malach mefurad migeshem lagamri. He was zochem to see this. We're to see soon that Manoach's not sure whether he's going to be allowed to live. Maybe he has to die now. Similar to by Matan Torah, the Jewish people say, if we continue to hear the word of God, we're going to die. Right? That's what happened. They kept them dying, and Moshe brought them back to life until they had to go to somebody else. Moshe had to teach them the rest of the Dibros. So we're going to see how that they assume that's part of revelation at this very high level.
Rabbi.
So, yeah, go ahead.
So we know that the Avos had some interaction with Malachim. Right, you had a Malach that came to Avraham, and then you also had a Malach fighting with Yaakov. In what form did they see them?
So that's a very important machlokes rishonim. I think the simple interpretation is like the Ramban, and that's I think the way we learn it. But they came as people; they looked like people, like the beginning of this story. The whole majority of Perek Yud Gimel, the Perek that we're learning. They look like people. The Rambam writes, they look like people, but anytime there's a Malach interacting with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, for that matter, it was always in a dream. It was in a state of Nevuah. It was in a state of prophecy. It was never in real life. Even the story of Avraham and the three Malachim didn't happen in reality. It was in a dream. Really? The Mara Chalom. That's what the Rambam agrees. One of the main reasons why he disagrees is because there are too many details for this to be a dream. It must have taken place in reality.
Rabbi?
Yeah, Milty. I can't hear you. It's very fuzzy.
It's his Wi-Fi. He has problems with his Wi-Fi.
You want to, Milty, you want to can you type in the question? I don't know if you're on your phone or on your laptop.
So, Rabbi, what merits them if this is not something that happens very often? What merits them to basically see the Malach in this form?
That's a great question. So, one suggestion is brought here. The Gamefshar, that's what we're up to. Levayr Mashu Choshesh Lekach Yosir Mimena. Why is this? It could be that this is to bolster the claim of Mrs. Manoach. That Mrs. Manoach is saying, you know, this is who came to me. And the husband is skeptical the entire time. I want to see it myself, number one. Number two, it could be, he's suggesting that maybe he was still skeptical about raising a child this way. This is a big undertaking, a huge responsibility. And something that is not convenient at all to ensure that your child never interacts with Tumah, what they eat, what they don't eat, et cetera, et cetera. Don't cut their hair ever. What are people going to say? So how are they to know that this is Letovas Hana'ar, Letovas Hayelet? How do they know this is good or not? Right? If, just picture, I'm sure many of us were in, you know, you go to the principal's office, the principal says, listen, we think your child is diagnosed with blank. Or you go to the psychologist. Do X, Y, and Z. Feed them certain foods. Make sure they don't go to certain places. So to what degree do you follow through? Maybe for the first few years, it works really well. So this is to bolster and to show that what they are being asked of is going to be very good and beneficial for this child that's in front of them, or not yet in front of them, but it's going to be there. That's what he suggests is the reason why they needed a little bit of a stronger nevuah in this situation. I'm definitely open to suggestions. Okay. Now, so the Malach goes up in this fiery, vision and goes up to Shammai. Just note that he was making a korban for them to eat, as if to say, like, you and I are going to eat together. So, which is just fascinating because the Malach can't eat. So up until this point, he didn't really realize that this is the Malach, or this is part of Manoach's test as to what exactly was going on. V'lo yasaf od Malach Hashem leheira'o el Manoach ve'elishto az yada Manoach ki Malach Hashem hu. Now, what in the world does this pasuk mean? V'lo yasaf od Malach Hashem leheira'o el Manoach. The Malach Hashem never again appeared to them. And that's when Manoach realized that this is the Malach Hashem and his wife. Now is the Navi going like later on, like decades from now, that 50 years from now, they realize, oh, he never came back to us. It must have been a Malach Hashem. What does this pasuk mean? What does this pasuk mean? So the Radak suggests the following. The Radak writes, Shalo nira lahem pam acheres od. Letam az yada manoach davak im vayal Malach Hashem. So first interpretation of Radak is, you got to read this pasuk not in the right order. They know he's a Malach Hashem, not because he never appeared to them again, but they know he's a Malach Hashem because he just went up into a fire back up to Shemayim. Like, how else do you know he's a Malach Hashem? Because he never appeared to you again? That is wild. So the first thing that Radak says, you got to read this pasuk out of order. Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense. The average person is going to say he's a Malach Hashem because he went up in a fire. That's it. Vaya Malach Hashem alav mizbach velo im velo yasaf. Oh, yeah, perish velo yasaf kolomer kisharush. It's not like mimeinav yadaki Malach Hashem haya shvarsha davik im velo yasaf perish velo yasaf lehero al malar hahi beatzma. Allah belava mizbech v'lo nir elahem od az yada lo yasaf od, or you can interpret it as like they really go together. He never appeared to them again because he went up into a fire, and because he went into a fire, the Malach Hashem. So the Radak is compelled to understand this pasuk not in its typical fashion, because it doesn't really make sense that the Malach Hashem. They believed he was a Malach only because he never showed up again. It's not because of that, right? It's because he went up in this fiery fashion back up to Shamayim. So, however, the Malbim writes the following. The Malbim writes, Ki ad ata haya od kitzas safek etzlo. Ulai hu ish mofes mafli lasos. The Malbim writes, right, and this, I think, speaks to the detriment of Manoach, is that until maybe later on in their life, he still had doubts about this person. And maybe it really was a person who really knew how to trick people, right? Some Mefarshim understand that the Egyptian magicians were just magicians. They could trick you, but it wasn't real. Abraham Mamish. It wasn't real magic. That's why we weren't able to do certain plagues after Kenan, including Kenan. And maybe this person was a trickster. He was able to trick the eye. But the fact that he never came back again, right, shows that he really was a Malach. Meaning, he couldn't disappear into thin air. He wasn't talking about, he didn't come back to them 40 years from now, where he never saw them again in the store, in the shuk. But what this means is that He should have, if he really was a person, he could have just, disappear into thin air. He would have came back a few minutes later. But the fact that he didn't come back a few minutes later shows that he really was a malach and not a person. And not a person. Vayomer manoach el ishto, mos namus, ki elokim ra'inu. They feel at this moment that perhaps they should die because they experience such a prophecy that is not usually subject to very holy people. And if they see this, it could be that they should die. And this is what the Zohar writes, comparing this, that when Manoach said, Mos namus ki elokim ra'inu, af agav de Manoach lo havayah de mayaviditei, right? He really didn't know what was going on, the Zohar writes, but he does feel and sense that he saw something very holy. Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. The pasuk says in Kitisa, when Moshe is interacting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu post Chete Egel, Hashem said to Moshe, "You can't see me and live." Vaday anan chazinan ubegin kach mos namus. We certainly saw something, and we should probably die. Va'anan chaminan v'zachinan l'nahorada. We saw this unbelievable light. Azil bahadan v'niskayim ba'oma. We're going to stay alive. It must not be. And the fact that they did stay alive, they lived their lives with a new sense of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, what the prophecy said is going to happen. Vatomer lo, ishto lu chafet Hashem lahamisenu lo lakach midenu ola mincha. He says, if Hashem really wanted to kill us, then he wouldn't have taken our korban. And he just took the korban. So the fact that he took the korban, by the way, it's an ola, because on the bama, you could bring olas. V'lo her anu es kol elak, es lo hishmi anu kazos. Right? Clearly, Hashem needs us to be living. He wants us to live. And he wouldn't have showed us all this in order to die. So he needs us here. V'teled ha'isha bein. Then she gives birth. Vatikra Shemo Shimshon, Vayigdal Hanar, Vayirvachehu Hashem. Mazel Tov. Mr. and Mrs. Manoach have a baby. They name the baby Shimshon. Vayigdal Hanar, he grows up. Vayirvachehu Hashem, and Hashem blesses this child.
Rabbi,
yeah,
is there a parallel with this whole incident happening? Is there a parallel between this and the death of Shimshon? They both seem to be, and how he dies, very out of the ordinary, very out of the ordinary, spectacular type of events.
He pulls the columns down, and they all and the
right. It's like, you know, it's not that it's both of these are not what you consider ordinary type of situations. It's something that's spectacular.
So Shimshon definitely had a flair for drama. Right? He definitely had a flair for drama. So it could be that this is connected, for sure. But why is his name Shimshon? Where does that come from? Why Shimshon? You know, we didn't see anything in the prophecy that mentioned this name or referenced a shoresh of this name. Where did this name come from? So very few mefarshim really talk about this. I actually expected more to discuss this. The Abar Ben El writes, "Mizachar sheken haya shalomesu v'teila ra'isha bein." What was the name? Shimshon sheyishamish es Elokim. From I thought Shimshon Shemesh the sun. I don't know. Sheyishamish es Elokim, because he's going to serve God. Kol yemei chayav b'nizirusel. As long as he is a nazir, he is going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu his entire life. So Shimshon comes from the word Shamish. In seconds.
So they chose his name purposely. Dedicating him name, to,
yeah.
Dedicating yeah. him to, in the sense, be a servant of Hashem, to Hashem.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There isn't really much. I'm sure there is. I haven't found it. As to exactly what, why else would his name be Shimshon. Love to hear suggestions, but that's all I got. That's all I got. But Tachel, the parak comes to a close. But Tachel Ruach Hashem. Lefa'amo b'machane dan. The Ruach of Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem, begins lefa'amo. Lefa'amo. So the English here translates it as moved him in the camp of Dan, bein Sara or bein Eshtael, between Sara and Eshtael. If you look at the beginning of the Perek, we see that's exactly where he lives. Yishachad meets Sara, that's where he's from. His family's from Sara. Now, what does the Navi mean? Evetachal Ruach Hashem lefa'amo b'machane Dan. Bein Sara, bein Eshtael. What does this mean, lefa'amo? Just say, v'tachal ruach Hashem, al Shimshon. What, lefa'amo? That's a funny word. Where does that come from? So let's go. You see, you're not getting all my shares. So let's go to the Gemara here is going to interpret this pasuk. So let's go, before we get to the Gemara. The Abar Ben El writes the following. Lizachar sheruach Hashem hi tchila lefa'amo, rotze lomar, shelo haya sichlo miyushab ki'im v'nifa'amen kepa'amon, shehitchil zeh b'yosef b'machane Dan. Hu sheliyesh shekaru Dan v'niyom mer shehu kiryas yarim. So it sounds like this nevuah that he received was not consistent. It didn't happen in a constant way. It was like pa'amon, pa'am. Pa'am means a time, once. Pa'amayim is twice. So it happened from time to time where he received this nevuah, right? But it wasn't always. When it came, Rav Nachman writes that when his nevuah came, it came in certain places. And when it came, it was very, very strong. His nevuah came in very strong ways. But let's learn what the Gemara means here. And the Gemara is going to say something a little bit deeper, connecting it to last week's Parsha. It's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Tes Amibes to Yiram Adalf. But Tachal Ruach Hashem. The Ruach Hashem began. So we think this means the Ruach Hashem, that Shimshon received prophecy, or had some type of connection to God. Says the Gemara, Michami Bar Chanina, Chalsa Nevuaso Shel Yaakov Avinu. What is this referring to? It's referring to the Nevuah of Yaakov Avinu, the Nevuah of Yaakov that Yaakov said about Dan, Yidan Nachash Alei Derech, that Dan is going to be a serpent in the way that's going to bite the horse's heel. So who is that referring to? Rashi tells us in the last parsha that refers to
Shimshon.
Shimshon, right? So Chalsa Lav Ruach Hashem is not referring to Shimshon's Nevuah, but it's saying that Yaakov's Nevuah from thousands of years earlier is beginning now. It's beginning now, right? This is just amazing. What's amazing is that Yaakov's Nevuah, I saw last week someone compared Yaakov's deathbed wishes to David's deathbed wishes. So David's deathbed wishes were very political and for now. Whereas Yaakov's wishes were not for any immediate. There was nothing immediate there. It was like, therefore, tomorrow act on blank. It was all for the future, right? A very different type of, you know, conversation with one's children before one dies. Yaakov is completely prophetic in nature, thinking about the national history and destiny of Klal Yisrael. And David is speaking as a politician, as a king, trying to maneuver and ensure the safety and security, except and other things as well, tie up relationships. So we see now, what's amazing, as Gemara is telling us, is that this end of, or the beginning of Shimshon's life, is a the fulfillment of the nevuah of Yaakov Avinu. L'fa'amo b'machanedan. Amar v'yitzchak. D'irei b'riyam. M'lami sh'ayit ha'shchina m'kakeses l'fanav k'zog. Now, they taught him that the nevuah was inspiring him like a bell. A zug and a pa'amon is a bell. It moved him. So it like rang, right? And then like that would inspire him to act. And that would get him to act. Bein tzirah u'bein eshta'ol. Amar Rabbi Asi, tzara v'eshta'ol shnei harim gedolim. These tzara and eshta'ol were two very large mountains. The akaran shimshon u'tachnan zebezeh. Shimshon was so strong that he was able to uproot, lift up these mountains and ground them one against the other and make flat land, plateau land here. Hu yachel hoshias Yisrael, and he began to save the Jewish people. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, hu chal shvuas al shavim alch dechsevin tiskorli nini lenechti, vigdal hanar veicheu. So we already saw that at this point the bris between Avimelech and Avram Avinu that took place, that Avram said, we're not going to touch your children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, now it ends, right? Now it ends at this moment, because we discussed whether it was really that the great-grandchildren were still alive and they were dying, or that the Plishtim violated the oath by attacking the Jewish people. Nonetheless, this stops now. Hashem, he grew up and Hashem blessed him. Amar Yehuda Marav, Shebarchu Ba'amaso.
My voice is my password.
So you can see in English what this means, what an Amma here means, and shows that Hashem will see that this bracha is also a klala to him, that his male organ was blessed and endowed. That could mean literally, or that could mean figuratively, that this was something that was going to trip him up throughout his life, that what was going to entice him was the physicality of his life. He was presumably very attractive, and he was very attracted to non-Jewish Plishti women, and that was going to get him. Whereas this is something that could be looked at as a bracha in a certain way, it also was Shimshon's downfall in this case. And this is what he goes on, Rav Weiss from Eretz Yisrael. Ki yesh acher, right? This was going to be his challenge, his life. Every person has their own challenges in their lives, things that they get tested in. And for Shimshon, it was his taiva, his desire, the way he physically was, his strength, and what he strayed after in his eyes. And that was always going to be something that is going to go back and forth in his life, and that Hashem was going to test him in continuously. And we see the Gemara including that here directly in the story itself. Okay, the Ezra Hashem.
Rabbi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we know that he independently pulled down the pillars, or was it a nevuah?
I think independently he pulled it down, but we'll learn it together. We'll learn it together over the next few weeks. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we will continue with the story of Shimshon. Bezrat Hashem, next Monday.
Have a great day. Have a great day.
It's coming for Rabbi, 9 o'clock tomorrow, live.